Well, we're okay.
Okay. All right.
Start. Well, let's just get going, Bill.
All right.
And this is probably the number 66 time we've had an interview.
Oh my gosh!
People from West Dubuque in different ways: teachers, alums, coaches, administrators. And anyway, I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to visit with you.
Okay.
And today is the 16th of December, 2019. Talking to Bill Gerber. And Bill, let's get going a little bit with your background. I like to start with maybe growing up and where you went to school and how that got started in Dubuque here.
Oh yeah. Well, I went to grade school here in Dubuque at Good Old Cathedral. I was one of the River Rats, and then went to Wallert from 62 to 66, and then Laura's College till 70.
You had
and
your family was you had another brother, was that correct?
Yes, had a brother who died now a few years ago, and then got my master's at Clark in reading and learning disabilities. And so
you started teaching after you got out of Loris?
Right, yeah. I taught a year at St. Joe's, where Bishop Dunn was the pastor, and Bishop Dunn had played basketball for my father way back in Alcater.
Really?
During the Depression time. And so he always would come over to the house at times, and he always said, "Now, call me when you get out of Loris, and we'll get you fixed up." So he hired me his first job at St. Joe's.
What was your assignment?
And I started their physical education program, intramural program, coached boys, 7th grade basketball, 8th grade football, softball for the girls.
Was anybody else teaching there besides
you? Oh, and I had play duty at recess, at lunch hour. So,
what was your starting salary, do you remember?
$7,000.
Okay.
And the principal never liked that. She always told me I was overpaid. So, we didn't. She was an interesting lady, yes. So, so then from there I went to Wallert and taught at Wallert.
So that was, how many years were you at St. Joe's?
Just a year.
Oh, that was long enough.
Then, then I went to Wallert. Initially was going to be assistant sophomore football for Killorn. But when I got there, Father Guder said, "Well, we've just been had a visit from the NCA," or whatever they called it back then.
Yeah, Central.
Said, "We don't have an intramural program, so we want you to start the intramural program at Waller." So I did that and coached girls golf and sophomore baseball.
What was your teaching assignment?
The teaching assignment was physical education. I believe it was like two or three classes now. I hard to remember. And four classes, four I believe, of anatomy and physiology.
So were you married by that time, or?
Yes. Yeah.
When did you get married?
Right. Got married when I was a senior at Loris, because it was helpful, because then I qualified for a grant that paid for my last year of.
Where did you and Rachel connect back in those days?
Oh, when she was a sophomore, the summer of her sophomore year, would be my junior year. I'm a year older, and she came in. I was working with a best friend of mine at Baskin-Robbins.
Okay.
You know, the kids won't even remember that anymore. And she walked in with her friend to see her boyfriend, and here I am. Well, she walked in and melted all the ice cream, so then I knew that it had to be, yep, that was it. So, and, well, we just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, so
wow.
Something worked anyway. Yeah, the same year that we landed on the moon, Rachel was right there, right beside him.
Outstanding stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so okay, you're at Waller, and
then
continued there until
until I was walking out of Bunker Hill one day after a girls' golf meet, and Tom Wickham said, "I hear you are getting your master's. Well, I've gotten your master's in reading," and he says, "We've got a position open at Corton Camp. So I'd like you to come out." And then that's how I ran into a guy named Bob Howard,
who okay.
ushered me the rest of the way for the next 30 years.
Oh, my.
So, and it was so one of the best guys I ever met right there.
You know, I still think back about those days at Corton Camp, and I always remember the hot lunch.
The hot lunch.
Ladies treated us like royalty.
Oh.
Food was
gained 30 pounds at least.
And you know, you guys were teaching there, and there was no noon hour supervision.
No.
Who were you there with? Who was all your compadres at that time?
Oh boy.
Was Leah McCool there?
Leah McCool.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, someone who taught math. She was hard nosed lady.
Shirley,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. And a guy that taught English.
Let's see. Was Vince there at that time, or was that Chris Getkin?
Chris Getkin, yes.
Okay.
Chris Getkin, yeah. He was there. And so we had it set up. I don't know. We had an hour before the kids came to the second shift,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
you
yeah.
have two shifts. And so we played some ping pongs a lot of times. Just,
okay.
You know, all the lesson plans were done.
Oh, obviously.
Sure. Yes. But otherwise, we'd have been 50 pounds heavier. My God.
That was late 70s. So transitioning, you transitioned on to high school.
Right.
At
right.
some point.
Yeah, one of the big stories of the Corton Camp era was these guys in the afternoon, eighth grade, well, some character was setting a fire in the boys' restroom.
Okay.
So that was the big thing, trying to catch the guy. We pretty much knew who it was, and finally, I finally confronted the kid and said, "If you don't give me that lighter that you've been lighting all these fires with, I'm going to take you personally to the superintendent of school." So he coughed it right up, and the fire stopped.
Okay. I can't remember if we even had fire escapes back then. Anyway.
I don't think we did. But he was sure a character. Anyway, so then from there, Art Hinker called and asked if I would come over and continue. I think the learning disability program had started for a year, and the lady left, and he asked if I would come in and take over, and I started with my original 12 apostles, I called them, and we muddled our way through the beginning stages. And
plus, I think I asked you to do a little coaching back at that.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. Yeah, coached the girls I coached the ninth grade basketball.
Right.
Yeah, that was ninth grade basketball, and did a few, didn't I do some intramural things, like to raise some money for the, for the program.
I know you specifically did the freshman.
Yeah, did the freshman basketball.
Basketball program.
Until our kids got old enough to play, and then, so that was like 10 years worth, I think. 10, 11
somewhere
years.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, right.
So you already had two little ones by that time, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think you had an outside enterprise that you were involved with.
Anything to make money. So,
okay.
Yeah, and broadcast it on the radio. And, oh my gosh, yeah.
What was your broadcasting experience?
I was the color man for WDBQ on the different sports.
Who'd you work with? Tom
Berryman, yeah.
I worked with him too for several years.
He probably what I got my name, yeah.
I never forget when we did away games and if it was like even evening, an evening game, high school game, we'd drive back to Dubuque and we'd stop someplace where we were hungry, and frequently Tom would already have had packed a brown sack lunch.
Oh no.
And we'd go in the restaurant, he'd bring that brown bag and ask for a Coke, and that was his modus operandi.
He would do the same when we I remember we did the first 5-on-5 girls basketball game.
Okay.
And right in the middle of a fast break, Tom goes, and there's a fast with a big yawn before they even got down to the other end of the court.
It's honestly come
a long way.
I'll tell you honestly, there's no substitute for 6-on-6.
No.
As far as the thrilling, exciting, fast moving. There's going to be a, in fact, there's going to be a movie out called New Providence. About this town of New Providence, Iowa.
Okay.
It's down by the Marshalltown area. And the producers of the film aren't recreating 6-on-6.
Oh my.
This will be a film about 6-on-6.
They better get you and Jerry Schmidt involved.
And so, anyway, they found a fabulous Depression style facility, a gym called what? It's at New Providence. It's a round building.
Huh.
And it's got a beautiful gym preserved.
Oh my gosh.
And I want to go down and see it.
Yes, we should see that.
Because that must be, anyway, I think that'll be it won't be a blockbuster at the box office, but I want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that will be.
Anyway.
That'll really be interesting, I would think.
Yeah.
And it's probably a bigger gym than Epworth Elementary we used to have to practice in.
Oh, my gosh.
Had half a floor with a piano stuck in. You had to work around the piano.
Have you been to the new facilities at the high school?
Oh, yeah. They were just, my gosh.
We were there.
Wonderful.
Friday night for the Christmas concert.
Uh-huh.
In the auditorium. I mean,
that auditorium,
800
is
seats.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think what we had to put
beats
up
the old stage in the old gym.
Oh my gosh.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Anyway, so how about some of your other memories there?
Well, I was just going to say, with that Epworth Elementary, one of the funny stories is, it was only like a half a court with a piano, and you had to work around the piano. So we did a lot of ball handling and, conditioning and going through, what little things we could do. You could shoot at least a layup from the free throw line, you know, because the free throw lines intersected each other. So we were getting ready to play for an old coach of my own, Bill Romberg, who coached me at sophomore basketball when I played at Waller, and a real old school type of guy. And so we practiced our ball handling, and we practiced the Sweet Georgia Brown, which I'm sure some of the kids who had me in ninth grade basketball will remember. We would use Sweet Georgia Brown a lot of times to you know, practice and do stuff, mainly for some rhythm. But so we practiced so that they were coming to play us. And so here's my old school coach. And all of a sudden his team's on the court, and I held our guys back, and I started up Sweet Georgia Brown on the PA system.
Okay.
And he looks up and goes, "What? What's going on here?" And out come the kids, and they were spinning the ball on their fingers, and they were doing fancy dribbling and passing behind them and all this. And we circled the gym doing this, and he's screaming, "What is this? Hot dog high or something? What's going on?"
Oh my gosh.
So that was one of the funniest moments that we had.
Well,
to this day, when I see him, he remembers that. So that was a good one. The times that we had to run over to the Epworth Elementary, or not Epworth,
seminary.
The seminary.
Okay.
We had to run over to the seminary. Okay, so I had a little bitty car. I'd throw the basketballs in a little bitty car and say, "Your warm-up is to run over," whether there's 6 feet of snow on the ground or not, they're plunking through. And so we get to the gym, and it's so cold in there, you can see your breath. So you start practice, and all of a sudden the seminarians come out and start doing their karate on the stage. So you're trying to teach something, and all you hear is the roop, 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 roop.
I had not remembered that.
And then later on, you were running out of gym space, so the sophomores show up to practice on one half of the court. So here you got freshmen on one half and the sophomores on the other, and everybody could see their breath. And it was.
How about some of your colleagues that you worked with at the high school?
Yeah, that was one of the nicest things. Team teaching that I got, you know, we got to start, and it took a little while to kind of get going, but I was able to the famous Nancy Cooper in her classroom was just a real character, and it was a lot of fun being with her. Jim Dimmer, And he's got the famous Carpe Diem story that showed that movie and had the kids stand on their desk to get a different perspective of the world stuff. So I took that with me later when Bob asked me to do the Seven Habits class. So.
Oh, you mean Danner? Seven Habits. Oh, Seven Habits. Okay.
Yeah, that. That you wanted me to, you know, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And so that, I stole that concept and added it to, it was a senior group. It was the first one. And it was football players and stars like Elgin, and they had a quarterback with him that was real good, and it was a good mixture of girls and guys. And a funny story was, I had him do the do the carpe diem thing, stand up on your chair there and get a different perspective, you know, tell me what you see and all this. And I said, oh, I think we did that in Demmer's class. I said, yeah, stole that from him. So the big thing back then was, you know, how to give each other the decent respect that each deserves, especially women, you know, the girls, and how to talk to the girls and what should the girls be demanding, you know, that,
yeah.
Hey, you know, don't talk to me this way. Like the one girl says, well, the only compliment you ever hear from these guys is, hey, honey, you got a nice rack. That's the only compliment they knew. So we spent the whole class on, well, what should you do when they, yeah. You know, when you hear that? But they said, well, we never thought there was another way of thinking about this. So I think we're gonna. So the guys got a good lesson on how to compliment people. That was a funny one. And teaming with medals, like with Steve Calliope.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I knew absolutely nothing about it, of course. So he's educating me right along with the kids, and then we figured out, you know, he had to teach his regular math to the kids, and then we figured out, well, let's split the kids up into their special groups so that one would be in charge, and, you know, they would help each other through, like you'd have to work for a boss, you'd have a project, so you'd go through through that. So, but that was funny. I always told Steve, I said, Steve, you're dragging me through right with you. I said, I don't know if I'm helping or not. And Larry McCready, of course, was just masterful in the way he could work with any kid that was in there. It was just amazing. So I learned a lot from him about, you know, treating all kids and working with all kids.
Interacting with them.
Yeah, he was, oh, I mean, they thought he walked on water. And he really, that was always a fun one. The other that I liked was being able to help, like with rewriting tests, like with Dave DeLeary, for example. I don't think I told you that story.
I think so.
Okay. Here's a famous story from teaming with Dave DeLeary. Most of my learning disabled kids were in his class. So we devised a plan. Instead of having them write out a lot of answers to questions, we would let them do a little outline, you know, take some notes on what we read, and, you know, we'd help them figure out what's, you know, important and what isn't. And then they could take this paper with them when they had a conference with Dave and I. Okay. Well, so then we would talk. Instead of have them write a paper, they would talk to us. Dave always referred to this as, we're going to hear confessions now. So we had two lines. One line went to Dave, one line went to me. And at the end of one, Dave comes over to me and he says, I'm afraid I just had a kid who belongs to the Fakawi tribe. I said, the Fakawi tribe? Yeah. He doesn't know where the Fakawi he is.
Another member of that group, right?
Yes. You don't want to be a member of the Fakawi tribe. That was a good one. So there are plenty of stories like that, and I really loved helping teachers like rewrite tests so it's more readable and categorized, and helping them pick out textbooks and stuff. I really appreciated that you especially were giving me a chance to work with all the teachers like that. So
just a few things I try to ask once in a while when I'm visiting. What about what do you think your three top three life experiences were are
from Westerville.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Oh my. Well, the one that I always remember is, and I don't remember his name right now, but probably shouldn't. It was one of the big kids that I had on the ninth grade basketball team. And I would always tell them, you know, when I raise my voice at you, that just means I care, okay? So don't take me getting a little excited at you once in a while, you know. And I remember, this poor kid just couldn't get it. And, I would get frustrated. And I would, one time I kind of yelled at him pretty good. And he looked down at me because he was way bigger than I was at that age. And he looked down at me and he had like the start of a little tear in his eye. And he said, "Coach, honest, I'm really trying as hard as I could." And that was like a hammer hit me on the head.
Yeah.
Boy, you dope. You know, if you just be nicer and more patient, you'd probably get more out of them. And that changed my whole way of thinking about a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that's probably, you know, the toughest one. That and the Seven Habits one class where kids would actually say, "We never thought of, you know, being positive and looking on the bright side of things and helping each other out and things like that. And, and what can I do to help myself get better?" And I always remember, too, the kids that I had, how hard they worked. They would work really hard and were so happy with like a C, because that was really as hard as they could work.
They were maxed out.
Right. And they would, you know, take some of the things that we did with them, you know, how to compensate for what they did. I would say those are the three big things that I got out of it.
What's if you're going to, let's say you're going to play a round of golf and you could select three people to be in your foursome. Let's say famous people that you admire. Who do you think you would want to?
Famous people?
Yeah.
At golf.
Well, they'd have to be, I mean, they could be political or sports or whatever.
Oh, okay. So not just West Dubuque
people. No, no, no. I'm talking.
Oh.
And,
well, I always wondered if God played golf.
Okay.
he wouldn't be around.
You hit a one iron.
Yeah, I know. But you didn't miss that putt, did you? You know, there's an old joke there, isn't there?
Right.
Let me see. Well, nowadays I kind of admire the Spieth. You know, kind of like him.
Classy guy.
Yeah, seems to be. Let me see. You know, I was always a big fan of Barack Obama's wife.
There you go. Michelle.
Michelle, yeah. I always thought she was really quite the quite the lady. I read her book.
Very interesting to have a conversation with.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
And who else? Oh, I always admired, you know, like a Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
That would be
what you went through.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of even hard to imagine.
No, really.
Those are some great ones.
Yeah.
What's something that no one else knows about you?
About me.
you don't have to answer that, but I throw it out there.
Well, that doesn't know about me. That I guess at heart I'm just an old softy. I just want everybody to get along and be happy, you know?
Okay.
I guess that's That's about it. I would say probably some of my kids that I had in class or coach or something might go, what? But
it's interesting because we go to Florida, in January and February and or other places, and all of a sudden somebody will yell my name. I was standing in line to get on an airplane in Florida. Hey, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
It was some girl from Barley,
Sure, yeah. So that happens all the time, doesn't it? And, they've changed from when they were like freshmen in high school. You feel bad that you don't remember their name right now.
A lot of times I just can't pull it out. And I say, well, what year were you? And kind of go from there. But anybody else that comes to mind as far as your friends at the high school and stands out for one reason or another?
I'll always treasure the time I had with Jerry Schmidt.
Okay.
Yes, he's was the greatest.
If I could ever have a gift, it would be to be able to speak in front of people like he.
Yes.
He is such a master of elocution.
Yeah, and the way he can remember every kid he's ever had, plus their relatives or who they're related to, or who he, who they connect with. He's amazing.
He's
amazing.
He has a lot of. He's a gifted. Has gifts that he was able to pass on.
Oh my!
Friends and students and that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, there's. We used to do the. Here's the final story, maybe with Jerry Schmidt. We used to do the Chief Joseph book where the Indian tribe was trying to get over the hill and over the mountains and this one chief would always speak up, and then they would follow that guy, and then, boom, it would end in disaster. And so one day, when we got done reading that part of the story, I said, I always wondered, why in the world would they keep following that guy? Because it always came out wrong. And one little boy, who never had said a word the whole year, pipes up and says, well, we followed you two all year. Look how it came out.
There you go.
Out of the mouths of babes right there.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's Jerry Schmidt's story. He's a class.
What do you got to take record?
So, that's about all I got there. You got anything else?
Well, I think that'll take care of our little visit.
If you get anything out of that, that'd be great. So,
and like I said, I've had 60 some of these so far, and I don't know where it's all going to end, but it's always interesting to hear perspectives from different. Like I said, I do administrators, I do alumni, former athletes, and that sort of thing. So
it was a great place to teach with really great professional people. It seemed like we raised our kids together too. Yeah. I mean, it was
the other thing. I get when I talk to people, especially those that have graduated from West Dubuque and gone to live other places. And they're all of a sudden they're back here, and invariably they tell me that I want my kids to go to West Dubuque.
Yeah. I've heard that too. That's neat.
So that's a pretty good compliment. And I was wondering what was going to happen at the high school when all you guys retired.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm pretty impressed.
Good.
With we had a luncheon last year.
Yeah.
Were you at that?
Yeah, that was.
And I got
tremendous.
To see some of the staff members and I think a lot of good stuff still yeah. going on.
Right.
And you can't open up the Telegraph Herald without seeing West Dubuque splattered all over it.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And the paper, whether it's in sports or academics or whatever.
Yeah. And community involvement and, and the way they've come together even with Cascade and all of that. And I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.